spiritual things. Amen, ladies? And you guys will also be doing deeply spiritual things. You'll be praying a lot. It's really going to cause you to press into God. Praise God. Well, let's open in prayer before we get into the word. And worship team, you're welcome to sit down if you like. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the word that you've given me to release to your people. And Lord, I just pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to communicate beyond what I can communicate. And just speak to people's hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a running commentary, that as I'm speaking, you're whispering to people's hearts, that you're opening hearts, you're opening spiritual eyes to receive this word. Please help me, Lord God, to do honor and justice to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's interesting. I was reflecting on this, that the last time I preached was right before COVID hit. And I made up my mind not to say anything about COVID because I'm sure that you guys like me are just fed up hearing that word. So I'm going to try not to say that word as much as possible. But I preached right before all of that hit. And I was reflecting on the fact that God had me speak about six things that he wanted to strip away from us. Who feels like they've had a lot of stuff stripped away over the last few months? I certainly feel like I have. And it's interesting because the number of points in that message was six. What is the number of man? Six. So God wanted to strip away our human things, the things of man from us. But I'm here to bring you good news. After the stripping away comes the building up. Amen? And I'm here to build you up this morning. I'm here to encourage you. And I know that you're going to be blessed by this word. And it's interesting, there's 7 points in this message today. So these are the things that God wants to invest back into your life today. Amen? So God actually gave me the message. I was sitting here listening to Pastor Matt preach last week. And Pastor Matt, it probably looked like I was scribbling down notes furiously. And it was a great message. But I have to say, God was downloading today's message. So there was a real anointing just for the word to flow, and God was downloading this message. So it was great, but yeah, I was writing but God does that, doesn't he? You'd be listening to someone else preach and he'll bounce off. That's that running commentary I was praying about. The Holy Spirit will elaborate. He'll add to that. So the word that God put in my heart was, it's called Back to Basics. If you're taking notes, Back to Basics. And really, I feel like that's what God is calling us to do at the moment. Has anybody else felt like that? Back to basics. And today's sermon is probably going to sound very basic. It might even sound a bit boring. But that's okay, because I believe that one of the traps that we fall into as Christians is we believe that we always have to make things exciting. We always have to reinvent the wheel. And when we do that in our spiritual walk, we forget about the foundational things, the things that we're meant to be doing. And when we do that, we risk doing things in our flesh. We risk going off track and going away from the word. So the first thing that we need to do, back to basics, and God's really impressed this on my heart in the past few weeks, is presence. The whole way through this, by the way, everything starts with a P. I don't know why. When God gave me the download, I thought, this sounds like Mr. Popper's Penguins. Has anyone seen that movie? Everything started with a P, but that's just the way that God did it. So the first one is presence. Presence. The last few weeks, God has just been calling me. It's just been like a love song, like drawing me back to that. And we all need to be reminded it's about God's presence. And if we don't do things out of God's presence, we're doing them out of our flesh. And really, it impacted me. It hit me to realize that when we do that, what we're saying is, my flesh is enough. My flesh is enough. My efforts are enough. And that doesn't do justice to the cross, does it? We need the presence of God. What is the presence of God? The presence of God is the person and power of God around you and in you. I'm going to say that again. The presence of God is the person and power of God around you and in you. Who needs that? I know that I need more of that in my life. And to cultivate that presence of God in our lives, we need to pray, we need to be worshiping, we need to be fasting. Fasting, that's something I need to do after the whole, I won't say the word, this period of time that we've just been through. Has anyone experienced maybe a bit of quarantine weight gain? I think fasting sounds good. Yep, need to get back to fasting and the word. Prayer, worship, fasting, and the word. Jesus always put these things first. And for each of these points, we're going to be looking at what Jesus did. So everything Jesus did, he always pressed into the presence, always, because he knew that he needed God. If the Son of God, needed his power, how much more do we need his power and to draw on his power? We need to live a life of utter dependence on God. Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? He was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. There will be times when the presence of God will lead us into places where we don't want to go. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, that we're also required to sacrifice. And if anyone says to you, you know, when you become a Christian, everything will be wonderful, your life will be amazing, or your problems will dissolve. I wish that would be true, but since becoming a full-on Christian, I think life has gotten harder, if anything. We need the presence. Amen? The second one is prioritize. To get back to basics, we need to prioritize. Has anyone else become aware there is so much around us to distract us in the world today? So much. And I think in this past period, I have realized how many things in our lives can seem good. They're good. There's good things, but they can distract us from the calling of God. Jesus never, ever let himself be distracted by anything, even a good thing. Remember, they said, Lazarus is dying. Come, quick. Lazarus is dying. You've got to come. What did he say? He said, he waited and then he went. He didn't take action immediately. It would have been a good thing for him to go and see Lazarus and heal him, but it was an even better thing. It was God's perfect will for him to go and raise him from the dead. I want to have that kind of, where I'm so tuned into God that I hear those nuances and I can discern between what is good and what is the perfect will of God. Because it is so easy for us to clutter our programs and our schedules with stuff that is good. Amen? But who wants what is best? God's perfect will. Amen? Jesus' mission was so crystal clear. It was so well defined. Every single thing that he did pointed to the cross. Everything. Amen? Even from the time that he was a boy. Isn't it interesting that the first time he says, I must be about my Father's business, he's in the temple. What happened in the temple? What did they do with the animals in the temple? They sacrificed them, pointing to the cross. Jesus was in the place of sacrifice, and he was foreshadowing how he was going to tear the temple veil in two. So there's some questions that we can ask ourselves which will help us to have that really well-defined, crystal-clear view of what it is that God has asked us to do. So number one, what has God called me to do? Have you ever heard that saying, you had one job? It's usually when somebody messes up, you know, like when they do a renovation. I don't know, maybe they install a towel rack over the top of a toilet roll holder or something like that. You had one job. Well, we need to be able to define what is your one job. Every single person in the Bible had one job, one major mission that they had to fulfill. Everything pointed to that. Moses was called to set God's people free. Joshua was called to lead God's people into the promised land. David was called to teach Israel about true worship, worship in spirit and in truth. Josiah was called to turn Israel back to God. And Esther was called to save God's people. And isn't it interesting? They all have something in common. Are those callings about Moses, about Esther, about David? Who are they about? God's people. If you're not sure what your calling is, think about how God has called you to be a blessing to people. Alejandro's calling is really, really clear cut. And really, his calling is all of our callings. Alejandro's calling is to save people from the fire of hell, from the jaws of hell. And that's, it's really easy. It's really clear cut to be able to see what his calling is. People should be able to look at you and say, this is what God has called them to do in relation to people. Amen? Another question to ask is, what do I enjoy doing? What do I enjoy doing? Now, this is kind of a bit of a tricky one because there's things that we enjoy doing, but they might not necessarily be our calling. There might be good things. However, God is not sadistic. He's not going to call you to do something that you absolutely hate. Now, there are things where we have to sacrifice to do them, but there are things that when we're in the perfect will of God, we just know, even if they're tough, we feel God's pleasure in what we're doing. Remember that movie, Chariots of Fire? And he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. He felt God's pleasure in what he was doing. What is it that you do that you enjoy and you feel God's pleasure? For me, it is writing. When I write, it's like I'm sitting at the feet of God and I'm hearing the Holy Spirit whisper into my ear. And even though it's hard work, it is hard work editing a book, it is hard work getting it published, it doesn't feel like work because I love it so much. So think about the things that you do where it doesn't feel like work. Now, your career and your calling may overlap, but they don't always necessarily as well. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, I'm not telling you, like Disney would say, to follow your heart, because the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, right? But it also does say, we need to not take that out of context, because it also does say, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and he will give you the desires of your heart. So in other words, if your heart is aligned with his heart, then you can safely start to examine what your desires are, okay? So I'm not telling you to quit your job tomorrow to go and do what you enjoy. That always has to be that tension between responsibility and enjoyment. Amen? We need to bear that in mind. Another thing to ask, what do I feel energized doing? Okay, what makes you feel energized? And also, incidentally, those things that are draining you need to go from your life. Again, there's a tension with responsibility. There may be some people in your life where you feel a bit drained being around them. But God has called you to be part of their life and to invest into their life, okay? Or there might be relationships that are not going anywhere either and you're being drained and you need to put boundaries in place, which is something we're going to talk about a little bit later. Another question, what do you feel sad not doing? So if you're very, very busy and you're not able to do something, what do you feel devastated having cut out of your life? Okay, and again, I'm not talking about fishing or, you know, those are things that we enjoy, but I'm talking about like God-given missional things, things that point to our calling that we feel sad when they're cut out of our lives. And if we are having those things pushed out of our lives, we need to reprioritize. We need to realign things. And, you know, I was thinking about this in the light of world circumstances, and I think one of the things that can happen when there's a major crisis is we stop dreaming, don't we? We stop dreaming. The enemy is a dream killer, and his number one weapon of choice that he uses to make that happen is fear. Fear will strangle your dreams. It will absolutely kill your ability to dream and hope for the future. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and what he said to the believers. You remember in the New Testament, I can't remember exactly where it was, but he said to them, because they were saying, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and they all quit their jobs and they're all sitting around their doorstep, you know, looking up to the heavens, waiting for him to come. And Paul said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, keep working. Don't quit your jobs. Keep doing what you're called to do. And I just really feel like the enemy has been using fear at the moment to get people off track, to make them forget the words that God gave them in the very beginning. God can still fulfill the words that he spoke on your life regardless of what's happening in the world. So keep dreaming. do what you can, how you are able, as best as you are able, for as long as you are able. So as long as I'm able to, as long as there's air in my lungs, and I'm sure Alejandro will say the same thing, as long as there's air in our lungs, we're going to keep preaching the word of God. You know, and some people might say, oh, you know, but something might happen to change that and, you know, control over the churches and we might get shut down. Well, as long as I can, as best I can, I'm going to continue doing that. Amen. Look at Corrie Ten Boom in a prison camp in World War II. She kept preaching the gospel. People kept getting saved. Let's keep doing what we can as best we can for as long as we are able. Another thing to be mindful of, recognize seasons. One of the things that can cause us pain and angst in our lives is not the inability to recognize when one season has finished and another one has begun. And I'm not talking about the global season that we are hopefully now coming out of. I'm talking about personal seasons. Personal seasons. So are there patterns, are there ways of doing things that we used to do before that we should not be taking into the new seasons that God is bringing into our lives? Number three, pay the price. So we talked about doing things that we enjoy, but this walks hand in hand with paying the price. We've got to pay the price. Jesus paid the price. When he went into the temple, he could have, when he was 12 or 13, he was in the temple when he was a boy, he could have said to his parents, nope, I'm about my father's business. I don't need you anymore. Thank you very much. I'll take it from here. But he didn't. He submitted himself to his parents. The only way you can fulfill the will of God is to be submitted, to be surrendered. You cannot fulfill the will of God if you're not surrendered to him. And that would seem to be fairly basic. But often we try and fulfill the will of God our way, how we want to do it. Amen? Living out our calling requires sacrifice. Number four, personal boundaries. Personal boundaries. This is something I'm very passionate about talking about. Because there seems to be this thing. Can I just speak bluntly? Yes? Okay. There seems to be this thing where we become a Christian and we take that turn the other cheek verse and we forget about all the rest of the Bible. We forget about how Jesus put the Pharisees in their place, how Jesus had very strong personal boundaries. Yes? Very, very strong. We forget about all of that and we say, I am a Christian. I must now be nice to everyone, which means that everyone can walk all over me. Yes? Some of you are laughing because you know this is true. Some of the worst people with the most broken down walls in their lives, worst boundaries, are Christians because we think we have to be nice to everybody, but we forget that Jesus had boundaries. Amen? He had boundaries. He needed to have boundaries in order to do what God had called him to do. You need to have boundaries because the enemy will try and violate those boundaries and distract you, often using people around you so that you are unable to fulfill his calling on your life. And often what will happen is if you allow your boundaries to be violated enough times, you become resentful, but not only of the other person, you actually become resentful towards yourself because you despise yourself for having those broken down boundaries. But I'm here to say to you today and to empower you and tell you, you're allowed to have boundaries. It's okay. It's okay to say no. My spiritual mother is a fantastic example of this. She will say to me, I'll say, you know, can I call you on such and such night? She will say, no, sorry, that's our family night. My grandkids are coming over. And she is one of the most effective people in sowing into other people's lives. Why? Because she knows her boundaries and she's able to operate not out of obligation, but out of her own boundaries. Does that make sense? So Jesus, I love Jesus because he was never intimidated by anyone. And that's another big factor. If we have broken down boundaries, often it's because we are afraid of offending people. That's a fancy way of saying fear of man. And we can put the onus on the other person. Oh, you know, they've been through so much and I don't want to offend them. And no, you don't want to look bad in their eyes. It's different, isn't it? There's a subtle difference, but the difference is there. Jesus was never, ever afraid of offending men, ever. He called people whitewashed walls and broods of vipers. He was not concerned at all. I'm not saying go out and do that, but Jesus showed us a great example. Look at Luke 8, 19 to 21. We're going to go there, actually. Luke 8, 19 to 21. Got my glasses today, so this is going to be interesting. Jesus' mothers and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. What do you think they came to see him about? Mom, Jesus is acting crazy again. We need to go pull him in line because we're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Great example of boundaries. If he was intimidated by his family being there or intimidated by what the people around him thought, he's ignoring his mother. Oh, what a disrespectful Jewish boy to ignore his mother who's standing outside. If he was worried about that, then there would have been a problem. God, Jesus could have surrendered his calling in a second by giving into intimidation, but he did not care. What he in effect was saying was they can wait. Now, I'm not saying to be disrespectful to people. That's a whole other ball game. But they can wait. I will not be intimidated into worrying what you all think about me and going out there to see to this issue right now. And I think he knew why they were there as well, to try and pull him into line. And that, giving into what they wanted, would have been detracting from his call. It would have been deviating from his call. So just to recap, we can only successfully create boundaries without the fear of man. So ask yourself, is there a fear of man that is stopping me from having adequate boundaries? There is a great book on this by Cloud and Townsend. It's called Boundaries. I recommend that every Christian read it. It's fantastic. And they say that the goal of boundaries are not to keep other people out. They are to show where you finish and the other person starts. Okay, so it's not about trying to control somebody else's actions, but you need to define where their attitudes, their actions, and their desires start and yours finish. Because when there's manipulation, when there's control, that can become blended. And somebody else can try and convince you that their desires are actually your desires when they're not. Only you can set boundaries for you. You are the only one who can do it. Amen. Number five. Be practical. Be practical. Sometimes we forget that we're actually flesh as well. And I think those of us in ministry, we're probably the most susceptible to this. We think we're halfway to heaven and we've already half got our eternal bodies and we can just go as hard and as fast as we like. But our bodies have ways of letting us know that they're not designed for that, not yet. Another fantastic book by the pastor of New Hope in Hawaii, Wayne Cordero, and it's called Leading on Empty. It is fantastic. I highly recommend it for any leader to read. It's about avoiding burnout. It is absolutely awesome. There are three things. First of all, Jesus went away to rest. He went up onto the mountains to pray. He slept in the boat. He did really human things that humans need to do. He didn't neglect that. He had that understanding of himself as a human man who had flesh that he needed to attend to so he didn't get burnt out. There's three things that we need to do. We need to, number one, pace ourselves. We need to pace ourselves. Now, sometimes that may not always feel attainable. Okay, so for example, you've got a whole pile of deadlines at work. Maybe you need to exercise the only you can establish boundaries for you. Maybe there's some boundaries you need to put in place there. Or you need to just accept that there is a sustained period of intense activity that you're going to have. However, when you finish that period of sustained activity, then you need to really be intentional about pulling back, doing whatever it is, you know, getting away for a couple of days. Praise God that we could do that now. You know, whatever it is that you need to do to recharge, what energizes you? What do you enjoy? And I'm not even talking about ministry right now, okay? Just let's forget about spiritual things. Jesus was not spiritual all the time. You know, I think he went fishing with the boys and he enjoyed it, you know, in between preaching, and that recharged him. Number two, pause. Pause. Really important. In our society today, we're just go, 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 go all the time, but we need to pause. There's that word in the Psalms, Selah. It means pause. Third thing, take time for personal evaluation and rejuvenation. There are times when we need to evaluate, and Pastor Wayne Cordero talks about this. What is not working in my life? What is draining my life? What does not point towards the calling that God has given me? Number six, pick your battles. Pick your battles. Not every battle is meant to be fought. Those of you who have children know exactly what I'm talking about. There are battles where you just look at each other and you go, honey, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let's not pick this battle, okay? And it might be they want to wear the green dress instead of the pink dress, or they want to wear jeans instead of a dress to church. We've been through that many, many times, haven't we? Yes. And I think we're still learning to pick our battles, but anyway. Yeah, Carrielle's a jeans girl, in case you haven't noticed. She would prefer to be in jeans any day. That's another story. So pick your battles. Jesus didn't waste unnecessary time and energy on things that would distract him and drain him. Isn't it interesting? He never argued with the Pharisees, ever. And you might think, well, hang on, they had debates. Yeah, but he never argued. There's a very subtle difference. He asked them questions and he had interactions with them, but he never argued. Here's the difference between a discussion and an argument. When you argue, you're trying to assert that you are in a position of authority or power over the other person. No, wait, I'm right. I'm right. You have to argue to put yourself in that position. In a discussion, you are in that position already. You know you are, and you are simply calling the shots. That's what Jesus was doing, okay? So, for example, we might, you know, we have the understanding that even if our daughter wears jeans to church, we're not terrible parents. We are in authority over her. She has to obey us, but it's just not worth it for today or whenever. So does that make sense? So Jesus asked them questions, and that was a favorite technique of his, you know. They would say to him, who do we have to pay taxes to? He would say, well, whose picture's on the coin? And that's beautiful that he was able to do that. That's amazing. I'm in awe of how Jesus handled hecklers. Amazing. It says in Proverbs 19:11, it is the glory of a man to overlook an offense. It's the glory of a man. Overlook offense and you will save wasting a whole heap of energy. And that leads to number seven, last one, practice forgiveness. Why do I say practice? Because you need to practice forgiveness. It's a skill. It's like a muscle that you have to exercise. And I have learned that the quicker you learn to exercise that muscle, the easier it is. The longer you leave it, that thing will grow roots. And then when you go to yank it out, it'll be like a weed that is well and truly established in there, and it's hard to move. And it becomes a stronghold if we leave it for long enough. Amen? So we need to make sure that we're pulling out those weeds. They are like weeds. Bitterness is like a weed. We need to make sure we're... You know, what happens to your garden bed if you leave it for a while with the weeds? They grow up, and before you know it, you've got a nice little weed garden. You can't see anything else. So make sure it's easier to weed day by day than to do it all at once. You know, that's when you end up with a stronghold. You need to call in God with the, the spray, the weed spray. You need to call in the big guns to do it, but it's easier to do it day by day. The pesticide, yeah. So bitterness is such a big one. I almost didn't put it on here because it didn't seem related. However, unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and bitterness will kill you spiritually. It will kill your calling. Nothing will destroy your calling quicker. And isn't it interesting that Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. It's like he was saying, there's this final open door that the enemy might try to accuse me of, you know, that I didn't fulfill my calling properly, but I'm going to shut that right now. Forgive them. And the door just, it slammed shut. So make sure, you know, when Jesus comes, and I believe Jesus is going to come soon. Amen. We don't want to be standing there with bitterness in our heart. That'd be the most dangerous place to be in. And I don't want to be in that place. And I know you don't either. So really quickly, number one, presence. Make sure you're in the presence. Number two, who remembers what number two is? Prioritize. Number three, we need to pay the price. Number four, personal boundaries. Number five, we need to be practical. Number six, we need to pick our battles. And number seven, we need to practice forgiveness. Amen. I'm going to ask if someone in the worship team could come up. That would be awesome. And we're just going to close with some ministry time. How are we going for time? Okay. Awesome. If we could just play... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for the calling on the life of every single person here. And as I'm praying, I just encourage you, think about those things that we've spoken about. So think about priorities. What are the things in your life that you need to let go of? What things are hindering you, calling you back from, holding you back from your calling? Maybe you're not really sure what your calling is. Maybe you're only hearing today that God actually has a plan for your life. And if you're hearing all of this for the first time, I want to say to you that Jesus died on the cross over 2,000 years ago because there's a purpose and a plan that God has for your life. And it's greater than what you could imagine. Like I said, it's tough. Some days it's tough. But I would rather go through this life. I'd rather go through everything that life could throw at us, holding the hand of my Savior, than by myself. And I want to say to you that opportunity is here today. That Jesus died to forgive you of your sins, to wipe away everything that could hold you back from coming to God freely. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, if today, if you would like to take hold of that free gift that God has offered to you by through His Son, if you're saying, yes, I don't want to go through life alone. I want to hold the hand of my Savior. I want to have that assurance that when I die, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. I don't understand the things that are happening around me, but I want to have this one thing sure, that I'm right with God, and that after I die, I'm going to heaven and I will spend eternity with Him. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you could raise your hand just so that I can see and God can see, just say, that's me. I want that. I want that peace. I want that assurance. I don't know a whole lot right now, but I want to know that. I accept that God is interested in me, has a plan for my life. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you've raised your hand, I ask you to pray this prayer with me, and I'd ask everybody to pray this as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth for me, to die for my sins, so I could be forgiven, so I could have peace with God and have eternal life. I repent of the wrong things I've done in my life. I invite you, God, to come into my heart, cleanse me, make me a new person. Help me in this journey. Show me your ways. and teach my heart who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just sense today that there's a real anointing for restoring lost dreams, lost vision. And it's funny because at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, a lot of prophets were saying, myself included, you know, it's 2020, it's the year of perfect vision. And that sounded like a real optimistic thing. Like, yeah, it's the year of 2020, perfect vision. And then we got into 2020 and went, oh, I don't want to see that. But you know what? Sometimes God has to strip away for us to see perfectly, for us to see clearly. So I still believe it's the year of perfect vision. Maybe we've seen in ways that we didn't want to see. But God is rebuilding, God is restoring those dreams. Amen. So won't you stand with me? I'm going to invite Alejandro up. Alejandro and I are going to minister to you. If you like prayer, you're free to come up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
So anyone who wants prayer for your dreams, maybe goals in your personal life, in your marriage, in your family, some things that you feel like, you know, like you need to go back to the basics. You feel like you need an impartation this morning. Come on, take advantage of this time and just come forward. Make your way forward. If you need a touch from heaven, if you need a touch from heaven, I'm going to invite those who need a touch from heaven, those who feel like I just need to go back to the basics, and I'm